Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is that time again. It is time for episode number 4 of the Armchair Arm Draggers. I am your man, TBG, and my PIC, the wrestling aficionado himself, Mr. Moneymaker. How we doing tonight?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm excited to go over this one in a way, just because I've got some opinions for this. This will be a good one. This will be fun.
Yes, it will. It will. And folks, tonight we are going to be going over the 2021 Royal Rumble that just happened just a couple weeks ago as we are recording. We decided to do this because the Royal Rumble is TBG's favorite pay-per-view of the year.
Enjoy this one. I can say the first Rumble I ever got as a child was the one where Ric Flair won the title.
Okay.
And like, as a kid, that even solidified more to me how much of a heel Hulk Hogan actually was. Because, like, it's every man for himself. And, like, yeah, I know Sid's supposed to be your boy, but Sid dumped you over is a fair thing to do. And, like, Hogan wants to be a little whiny bitch and pull Sid over the top rope. Get out of here, bitch. Yeah.
That is not the Rumble we are going to be going over today.
No, wait till we actually review that.
We will get to that one eventually down the road. For now, we are going to dive right in to the 2021 Royal Rumble pay-per-view. So, let's start.
Did you do the pre-show? Let me ask you that first.
I did not do the pre-show.
Okay, so neither did I. So that means we start with Drew McIntyre and Bill Goldberg.
Yes, the very first match was the champion, Drew McIntyre, versus the very old Goldberg in a match.
Goldberg.
In a match to open the card.
I was pissed when I saw this open.
I was not very happy. I mean, I was not happy at the fact that Goldberg was in a title match again.
Yeah.
I get the story behind it. It was finally we might have possibly seen the last of Goldberg because this was a respect match. I get that.
But like Drew McIntyre hasn't been disrespectful at all throughout his title run.
I agree.
And like he's been, if anything, like, you know, very honorable, like a very stand-up champion. Mm-hmm. And like making it sound like he's being disrespectful kind of makes McIntyre the heel in this match, where I felt Goldberg should have definitely been the heel.
Yes, because Goldberg making an excuse, going back to the Hall of Fame people, and you know just talking about having that respect, and I'm like, how can you not respect Drew McIntyre at this point?
Yeah,
for what he's done. I mean, you know, leading up to this match, you know, McIntyre was out for a little while because he had tested positive for COVID. So I was really worried about this match. But they did the right thing here. And we'll get into that as we discuss the match. And very first, right off the bat, McIntyre spears Goldberg as soon as he gets into the ring. Which
big
was pretty,
heel move.
Yeah, a big heel move, I guess you could say. And
I mean, come on, that's not a babyface thing to do. Like, babyfaces don't attack someone before the bell.
Well, I mean, you know, we'll get to why things progress the way they did when we get there. But so they go to the outside right after that, and Goldberg spears Drew through the barricade. So
that was nasty.
I thought that was a good spot.
Now, I do want to bring something up because through the barricade, I don't know if you caught it. Did you notice there was, you know how they have like the Thunderdome and stuff like that?
Yeah.
There's cameras below, there's like screens below the barricade.
Yeah, I don't understand that. What are you, you're going to stare at the barricade the whole night?
Well, so I think that's the thing with the Thunderdome is like, so you're supposed to watch wrestling on a second screen and then react to it. And they keep you on the Thunderdome. But it's like, man, if I was the guy that was placed below the barricade and it's like, oh, I'm on the Thunderdome. And everyone's looking for me and they're like, we don't see your ass. And then it's like, oh, wait, I was that guy that was behind the damn barricade for 2 hours. Shit.
And they might have finally got to see him. You know, when after Goldberg played, Goldberg Spears drew through the barricade. So you know, now Drew's playing that his ribs are hurt. You know, playing up that spear. They get back into the ring here. And, you know, not very much back and forth. And Drew gets a claymore on Goldberg. And Goldberg kicks out at 2. So this is when I was like, oh, great. Here we go.
Yeah.
The unbeatable Goldberg just kicked out of a claymore kick. And I'm like, oh, don't do it, guys. Please don't do it.
I was pissed off at that point. I thought, my God, I told Sarah at that point, my wife, I said, if Goldberg wins this belt right now, I said, I'm turning this damn pay-per-view off. And Gary can review the damn thing. And I'm just going to sit there and go, yup, yup, yup.
So after he kicks out, Goldberg hits 2 spears and a jackhammer. And I'm like, oh my God, it's going to happen. It's going to happen, but it does not because Drew kicks out at 2. So they definitely played the emotions there of letting people think that they were actually going to put the title on Oldberg again.
I definitely thought they were going to go that route. Like I was going to be like, they're like, oh, we'll just put it on Goldberg, and then he can lose it to Edge at WrestleMania, or whoever wins the Rumble. And I'm like, God damn it, do not fuck this up right now, because this is the one thing that your story is faulty as shit. B, this feud would have been 10 times better if you were trying to play off disrespect. It should have been Randy Orton, which they're trying to make him a babyface, which that ain't working from everything that I'm seeing. And it's just, no. This, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, you know, Drew hits the claymore after he kicks out of all of that. He hits the claymore, gets the 3, retains the title. Now, you might say, whoa, Moneymaker, big guy, those are quick notes. That is basically the whole match, folks, because this was a very quick match.
6 minutes, I'd say.
Something like that, which it needed to be, because you are protecting Goldberg at this point, because the man is not going to be able to go.
Can I ask something?
Go ahead.
What did he need security for in the backstage?
I have no idea why that man still needs security backstage.
It's COVID. There was no one even in the backstage.
There was no one in backstage, but it was hilarious. I thought they did, and as we just talked and you heard, they played our emotions in this match. They did. Because you said it, and I said it. We really thought that they were going to give this old man the title again, but they did not.
How many arm drags you got, big guy?
I gave us 3 arm drags.
You're with your goddamn 3 arm drags again. Here we go. Carry over from the last fucking show. I gave it 2.
I gave it, hey, that's close, man. And the reason why I gave it 3 is because they did what they needed to do in this match. They played your emotions, which you just admitted to a few minutes ago.
I admit that.
They kept it to big spots. They didn't do all this extra stuff. It was four big spots, boom, the match is over. They kept it quick, which is what we needed, because we didn't want to sit here and watch a 15-minute, 20-minute Goldberg match. It would have been terrible.
They couldn't have done it.
Exactly, and that's why I gave it three arm drags. I thought they hit the mark on this match.
I gave it two arm drags because it's 50-some-year-old Bill Goldberg who should not be in the goddamn ring. All right, so there's from 5 to 4. From 4 to 3 is Bill Goldberg shit-ass attempt at a jackhammer. Mm. And from 3 to 2 is, again, 50-year-old Bill Goldberg in the damn ring with Drew McIntyre in a storyline that should not have been Drew McIntyre at all. It should have been damn Randy Orton. And I would have rather seen, like, there's not even a legend out there that you could have paired Drew McIntyre with for the Royal Rumble. I would have rather seen, God, I don't even know who's on Raw right now because it's that bad. Yeah,
Raw's very. I never miss a Raw, and it's hard to get through sometimes.
Let's say MVP or the Hurt Business, one of those guys. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the next match we have coming up is the SmackDown Women's Title match. And you have Carmella versus Sasha Banks.
Who's this guy with Carmella, by the way?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't watch SmackDown.
So they're redoing the Ellsworth angle.
Basically. Ugh. We don't have
it's terrible.
And that is the theme of my notes for this match. Terrible. I didn't have too much written down. There was a few really cool spots. There was a quick reversal at the beginning of the match where Carmella has some offense and Sasha Banks reverses it into a bank statement right there quickly at the beginning of the match. I thought that
was Carmella lives in Pittsburgh now.
I do.
On the south side.
On the south side. Down there on the south side. And then Carmella rolls out of the ring because of the bank statement. There was a big spot where there was a splash onto the announce table. And then it was like Carmella started stomping Banks for a few minutes.
I will say Sasha Banks is probably one of the best female wrestlers the WWE has right now. I know you don't like her, but the thing with Sasha Banks is, and this is the same thing they said about Eddie Guerrero. They're consistent.
What? Whoa! Time out! You just put Sasha Banks in the same cat. Get that out of here. You're crazy. Never mind. We're not going to get into that right now.
Go ahead. Get into it.
No, we're going to finish the review of this match.
You're welcome to get into anything you want because Sasha Banks is like Eddie Guerrero in the aspect that she is a consistent worker who, the only reason she's in the position she is right now is because Becky Lynch had a baby. Because if Becky Lynch didn't have a child, and that's her choice, and I support that, Sasha Banks would not be a champion right now.
I will agree there because they would have the greatest woman wrestler in WWE right now, Asuka, still as the Raw champion, and Becky Lynch would have probably went to SmackDown and be the SmackDown champion. So we will agree there. but now that you totally racked my mind putting Sasha Banks in the same category as Eddie Guerrero.
It's not my fault Eddie Guerrero and Sasha Banks were the same height. Eddie Guerrero was 180 pounds and soaking wet.
So Reggie gets tossed. You know, that's Carmella's. I don't even know what he is.
Is that what his name was? Reggie?
Yeah, it's Reggie. Oh. Liaison. I don't know.
I thought it was Jeeves.
I don't know what it is. But he gets tossed. She just called him Jeeves.
Yeah. I don't watch their product, man. It's terrible.
Yeah, SmackDown is bad. SmackDown is by
far. You know, it gets better ratings than Raw.
What's that?
It gets better ratings than Raw.
It has less competition Friday nights.
I don't care.
I mean, neither do I.
That means it's a better show.
Oh, yeah, right. Carmella gets a big dive through the ropes. But, I mean, this match was really bad for me. Sasha gets the win with the bank statement to retain the title. I gave this one arm drag, and that was it.
This was an arm drag for me as well.
Yeah.
Anytime I've seen Carmella and Sasha Banks wrestle in the past, Carmella wrestle anyone, period. Not saying Carmella isn't talented and can't, you know, do what she does. She does it very well and she can actually perform at it. But she isn't at the same level as I would say a Sasha Banks or a Bayley or a Charlotte or a Becky Lynch. There aren't many girls in the WWE that are at their level. You know, I wouldn't even, like, I would say the level probably goes Asuka and Charlotte are at the top. You probably have Io Shirai on NXT, like, the next level down with the Bayley and the Sasha Banks. I'd even put probably Sasha Banks down to the third tier and put Becky in that second tier, or like a 1.5 tier. But third tier is definitely a Sasha. And then there's like a steep drop off. I'd probably say in that third tier, you also have, what's her face? It just came up from NXT. She was the final two in the Rumble.
Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, I'd say she's a tier, like a tier three as well.
More on her coming.
Yep.
So I don't know. I can't. I was never a fan. I just can't. Sasha Banks is very boring to watch to me. But this match,
matches are all the same.
They are.
I'm like, I know I was saying like she's like Eddie Guerrero in some regards, but Sasha Banks, you can go watch like an old NXT match, and it's pretty consistent. You're gonna see the same spots every time.
Right. And so then, I mean, do we want to jump into the Women's Rumble, or do we want to do the Last Man Standing match and then we'll do the Rumbles back to back?
No, we'll do the Women's Rumble. Okay. I don't really have many notes on like the spots or anything.
Yeah, me either. We'll just talk about how it went over. But first, before the Women's Royal Rumble, we had some trash rapper. What the hell was that?
Who is Bad Bunny? I'm sorry.
Who?
Yeah, I don't know who this person was.
Who, I feel like I can put a mouthful of marshmallows, get my mic, and record something, and it will go insane. Because who is what? What was that? Why?
Yeah.
Why? And the only thing you could understand out of the whole 3.5 minute song was Booker T.
Can you dig that?
Can you sucker?
Yeah, like, that's
that dropped my overall rating for this pay-per-view. One arm drag because of that.
Going to be at WrestleMania.
Well, yeah, he's probably going to be in a match.
He's performing and he's in a match.
Like, oh my God. Yeah, with Damian Priest. I like that kid, by the way. We'll get more on him later. But, hey, all right, next. Let's get to the Royal Rumble, the woman's Royal Rumble.
Well, how many arm drags do you give this one? We'll just do that first.
What, the woman's Rumble?
Yeah.
I gave it two. It was hard for me. If the person that won didn't win, I'd have probably gave it three.
See, I gave it three, even with you can say the winner, Bianca Belair.
Yeah, Bianca Belair was the winner.
I was fine with her winning the Rumble. When she came in at number three, I was sitting here watching it with my wife, and I was like, oh, Sarah, she's going to win this. And it just, her story in the Rumble kind of felt like she was going to win it. Now, I will call WWE out on some bullshit because both her feet touched. You ain't denying that.
Nope.
You cannot spin that any other way.
No. Nope.
Like, I've gone back and I've watched the Shawn Michaels. Both feet never touched.
Right.
I've watched, who else did this skin that has done it? Now, The Rock, both of his did touch.
Mm-hmm.
Ray, his didn't, but Ray, shit, you had like 3 feet of air between his feet. But no, Bianca Belair's feet both touched.
Yeah.
They really, really should have turned, like, the moment they saw that, they should have been like, oh.
They should have moved the camera.
They should have had the multiple angles where, like, they did. Where it's like, okay, if her feet don't touch, we have the shot that we want to show. Mm-hmm. But if her feet touch, show it from another angle.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and at that point, but the moment you have it on camera and everyone has seen her feet touch.
Right.
Not taking anything away from Bianca Belair. I'm very happy that she won. Ugh. But you should have turned it instantly into a story. With Rhea Ripley. Now, there, someone's going to say, oh, well, you can't have Rhea Ripley be the heel in this regard. You're trying to get Bianca Belair over as this strong baby face going into WrestleMania. I get all that. I'm not denying any of that. I think Bianca Belair will go to WrestleMania, and I think this is going to be her crowning moment, which I'm excited to see. But you have to, like, in that instance, you have to go, you're out. She still, or if you're going to have her win, build the story off of it then. You know, Rhea Ripley, you turn her heel for one pay-per-view. The way they can turn someone heel or face like that, one pay-per-view, her, Rhea Ripley's like, I beat you. It's right there. I've proven that you've touched your feet on the ground. Put that on the line against me at Fastlane. The winner goes on to WrestleMania. You don't even have to make it really heelish. It's just competition at that point, which that's what WWE is trying to get over, is it's a competition. And if you're going to have that, make it that.
Right. This was very predictable. And this will be the theme of both Rumbles, where the day before, when we were picking Rumbles, I said Bianca Belair is going to win. I didn't want her to win. Obviously, I wanted Alexa to win, and I will say more on that here now. But when it came down to the final two, what is wrong with Rhea Ripley that is she is not getting pushed by this company?
How can you say she's not being pushed? She's not. In the final two.
Okay. So what's going to happen? She's going to go right back down to NXT and never see it again.
No. So they set something up in the Rumble. All right. And your girl was involved in it.
Alexa. Yes, which was pretty cool.
When she started, because that was the whole thing. You can't let her mutate into the Fiend.
Yes. So, so what's,
What's Rhea Ripley do? She launched that ass right out,
right out the ring.
And you
right
saw that Alexa Bliss was pissed off at her, and she was glaring at her. Alexa Bliss is not going to fight Randy Orton at WrestleMania. That's not going to happen. If they actually do that, I will be surprised. I'll get the F out.
Well, I think that they might be doing another Firehouse Fun clip thing like they did with
Cena. They might.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. But the Alexa thing was really cool. I did like that spot because everybody in the Rumble noticed she was about to turn to the Fiend Alexa, and they launched her right out the ring before it could happen.
They're like, get that ass.
Which, that's right. They tossed her out. Which is okay, because from some of the she was already working very well with Oscar right now on Raw.
Oscar.
That's what I said. She's working well with Oscar right now on Raw.
You said Oscar.
I did not say Oscar. Oh my God, you're something else tonight. First you're telling me, first you want to put that girl that I can't
Sasha
stand
Banks
in the same category as Eddie Guerrero. Now you're trying to tell me I said Oscar instead of Oscar. I don't know what's going on. You were happy. You were happy Bianca Belair got pushed to WrestleMania, which I don't understand. I don't think she's ready. She's what? Doesn't. No, no. I have seen many, many matches with her in there, and she doesn't look comfortable in matches. If I go from what I seen by Bianca Belair in NXT to what I'm seeing right now on the main shows, it's not the same person. She doesn't look comfortable.
No one on the main show is comfortable. You go and you watch any old NXT match with any talent that is on the main roster. Go and watch a main roster match for Finn Balor versus an NXT match for Finn Balor. Light and day difference. It's because on the main roster, you're under such a microscope with Vince McMahon that you can't wrestle the style of match you want to do. They really put a handcuff on you. But if you want to make the millions of dollars that everyone wants to make, you got to go up to the main roster.
We will see what happens, who she's going to cash in on. I think she should cash in. If you make her stronger than Asuka, you guys, the WWE is crazy.
She's going to cash in on.
She has to.
It has to be Sasha Banks.
It has to. Because
of course they might put her over Asuka.
Oh my God. Listen, I'm telling you right now, if that happens at WrestleMania, it's getting a zero arm drag. I'm telling you that right now. Okay. So we'll dive into it. The most eliminations was Rhea Ripley. She had 7.
Nice.
So that was, the next was, the Beast, Shayna Baszler. So that was pretty cool. The first eliminated was Shotzi Blackheart. I love the tank. I love the tank.
See, you sit there and say you love Shotzi Blackheart.
I didn't say I love her. I said I love the tank.
But yet, when I say Sasha Banks is the female Eddie Guerrero,
oh my God, stop saying it!
Pissed off. And see, this is why you have no taste, because you like a green-haired.
Let's go,
punk. On to the next match. I can't even do anymore with this shit.
So the next match was, before we get to the Men's Royal Rumble, this would be the last one-on-one match of the card. So they really only had 3 one-on-one matches during WrestleMania with the two manias. And this was the last man standing match between Roman Reigns, the head of the table, versus Kevin Owens. Last man standing. I mean, there's a lot of big spots in this match. I think they played out the story well of Roman trying to force Kevin to respect him and bow down to the head of the table, and Roman Reigns or and Kevin Owens is just like, no, I'm going to keep fighting, and I'm going to keep fighting you and fighting you. And this was really cool spot. Right off the bat, Roman Reigns with a quick Superman punch. Quick, right off the bat. It was just bam, bam. And then, you know, we had a sit-up powerbomb spot that was really cool. You know, they traded ramming each other into the posts. So this really
they
started
fought all over the the Thunderdome,
all over the place in the Thunderdome. Really cool. You know, there was some step shots where people were getting thrown in the steps, and then Roman Reigns like literally picks up the steps and starts beating Owens with them. You know, that was a big spot right there. And before I move on to there, you got anything to add to the opening of the match there?
No, you're good, big guy. Keep it going, man.
Yeah, all right. you know, Owen started coming back. He got his, you know, patented super kick. I mean, this man does everybody else's finishers but his own.
I will say, for the size that he is, he does throw a nice super kick.
He does. He does. He's got a nice little super kick going on.
It's a modern day Mick Foley. It does a super kick, a stunner, and still gets thrown off everything.
Everything
in the world.
In the world, and can get you up for a sit out powerbomb.
Yes. Yeah.
So a couple chair shots traded in there. I mean, this was basically a hardcore match, because everything they could use, they did. There was a point where Roman Reigns, they're up on the, I don't know, what was it, like three tiers up in the Thunderdome?
Yep.
Whatever it was. And you see the table down there. I mean, the camera, what did you talk about? Spots? Spots, yeah. About people diving over the ropes?
Right.
You knew it was happening.
Yeah, no, it's going back to one of our old episodes when I said, you know, you see the 9 or 10 guys all pile around the outside of the ring. And they're like, all right, guys, let's all get together. Oh, shit. Wait, why are we all here? Well, because he's going to come diving over. Oh, okay, here he comes. Let's all hope to do.
Yeah, and like, the camera pans out. You see the table.
Wish they wouldn't have shown us the table. Right. I like if you go back to an old Attitude Era match or an early 2000s match, they don't show you that table.
Right.
They are down below showing you everything up above. Mm-hmm. They may have like the over the camera view of them fighting, or someone like down low showing them fighting up top, just like a row or two above them, but they're not showing you that table down below. That was one thing that, like, bummed me out, because that table, you shouldn't see it. Let them throw Kevin Owens, and then you're like, oh my God, he just threw him onto the concrete. What the hell? And then you show the camera, and there's Kevin Owens through the table.
Right, right.
You know.
So, but yes, Kevin Owens does get thrown through the table. You know, and this is a last man standing, but he gets up because we continue. And we continue backstage. We're going backstage now to where there's another ring set up for some reason.
I did not understand that.
I don't know if that's the get warm ring. Kevin Owens is kind of stacked. Now, this part right here that I'm about to say, I was like, holy shit, that was good. Owens is just standing there. No camera panning. No, you weren't, you know, like we just said about the panning to the table. Here comes Roman Reigns in a golf cart, baby. Wow.
You know what they stole from AEW?
I mean, whatever. I don't care. I don't watch that. It's garbage.
I will say WWE did it better than AEW.
Yes.
AEW, when Sammy Guevara got blasted, he got grazed. And I personally know someone that has been run over by a golf cart.
It's not me, folks.
And what that will do to a person. And let me tell you, when Kevin Owens got blasted by that golf cart, I was like, damn.
Yeah, he got hit. Like, he just did what he was supposed to do. He kind of, like, jumped up so he would go through the glass. And but
yeah, if he didn't jump, he was getting run the F over.
Yeah, that
was
a great spot.
The fuck over.
That was a great spot. That was probably one of my favorite spots right there in that match. Because again, it was the surprise element of it, because there was no panning. There wasn't anybody saying, oh, here comes Roman Reigns in a golf cart. No, it was nothing. It was just Owens, bam, golf cart.
Yeah. Yep. Which I will say, up to this point so far, I've loved this match. It's been a great match.
Yes.
It's been a lot of fun. Couple questionable, you know, like, oh, like, hey, he probably, like, where he got thrown off the thing through the table.
Yes.
That I can, it, like, suspend my disbelief that, okay, that's not going to end the match. I can disbelieve that there. The golf cart, I started to, like, all right, they're starting to jump the shark on this motherfucker now. Like,
yeah.
You just ran this motherfucker over with a golf cart. This
but it wasn't. There's more, folks.
Oh, yeah.
There's more. So Owens start, you know, after he gets hit with the golf cart, there wasn't really, it was kind of like both guys just kind of getting back into it, getting their feet. Well, Owens power bombs Reigns into a table. All right. And then he splashes him through it, right? He splashes him through the table. He doesn't get the count. Roman kind of staggers into another table. You know, Owens gets him set up there. And this boy finds a forklift. And he figures out how to, you know, I'm sure they told him how to beforehand, but playing for the camera, he figures out how to raise it as high as it goes. And he freaking senton bombs.
You mean the other spot they stole off AEW?
He even gives the Hardy Boy, hand gesture.
Yeah.
Before he goes and senton. I loved it. Now,
I would not have taken that. But I would not have. What? Big guy, I love you. And I would say you probably have 110, 120 pounds on me.
Maybe more, but we'll go with that.
We'll go 120. We'll go 120.
I think that's generous, but we'll take it.
All right. So I would say Kevin Owens has 80 pounds, 90 pounds on Roman Reigns.
Okay.
Well, I think that's we'll be in that ballpark.
Yeah.
So that's a 30-pound weight difference between them and us. And I'm still not going to lay on a table and let anyone, I wouldn't even let my wife climb on a forklift and swanton onto my ass. No. You know how bad? Now think about that. Because you got to lay there while he's doing this. And you got to go, okay, all right, he's really fucking around a lot with this forklift. Man, that's taking him a while to get up there. Oh, shit. All right. Well, he's finally up there. Man, I still got to lay here for this. All right. Well, he's about to jump. Oh, shit. He's coming a lot faster than I really thought he would. Wham!
And you see it, too, because right before
I was
Owens,
moved.
This
goes back to what we said with, like, ECW, and then last week when we were doing our other review, when PCO came over the top, or Jean-Pierre Lafitte came over that top rope, and Brett was like, I'm not fucking taking this. This would have been another instance of, I'm not fucking taking this.
Yeah.
I would have just stepped and let his ass go right through the table.
And you see it too, because Roman's looking and he sees him coming, and he literally brings his arms up across his chest and kind of like turtles a little bit to soften the blow. on his body. And I was like, oh my God, that spot was crazy. That was crazy.
No, not doing it.
Yeah. Doesn't get the,
that, you know, should have ended it. That goes back to what I was just saying. That should have ended it.
Right. And now what I would have done, now, I don't know. I'm sure they've done this before with last man standing matches, but
yep.
Why not just drop the forklift on top of Roman and he's not getting up? That's a 10 count. Boom. Match over.
That's so I agree with that. That's actually a very logical way to end it. And you can also go back to halftime heat, the empty arena, when Mick Foley rode the forklift down onto the Rock, crushed the Rock and pinned him for a three while sitting on top of the forklift.
Yes. Same. I think that's what I was thinking of right there.
Yeah, no. Yep.
But it doesn't end the match, and we continue.
Yeah, it was some bullshit.
And
this is where I'm finally saying they're jumping the goddamn shark, and I'm getting mad at that.
All point. Right, so Roman Reigns spears Owens through the screen. The Titantron, yep, or whatever you want to call it now.
Yeah, you got it right.
So that was the last really cool spot in the match, was that right there, because now we go to the fuckery.
The bullshit. Where I, yes, got pissed.
This is where Moneymaker loses his shit. So Reigns gets some handcuffs and he's trying to cuff Owens. Well, it doesn't work out, and Reigns ends up getting cuffed
to
a beam, to where
he's on the bottom.
Where he's on the bottom, where he can't get up. Mistake number one, WWE, do not use real handcuffs. So the ref is counting and he's getting close, and Reigns grabs the ref and throws him into, I don't know if there was another beam there or whatever, and knocks him out. So he's out, which is perfect what they needed to do at that point.
At that point, I was okay with
this. Yes. So in comes our guy with the key to the handcuffs.
Paul Heyman.
Well, unfortunately, Paul fucked up.
I don't know if it's Paul's fault or Kevin's, because if you watch what he was trying to do, he's like trying to bend his wrist, like, because the
right hole, we don't know,
the hole was facing the wrong way, the hole was facing probably out towards him, that it would have been a lot easier.
Yeah, that it was probably like, you know, if his you can't see it, but if his wrist is facing flat and you put the hole underneath his wrist, with all that shit, it's going to be harder to get, yep, it. If they put the hole on top of his wrist, he just slides the key in, boom. Well, don't ask me why WWE decides to send out another ref. Mistake number two.
Yep, and this is where I lose my shit.
Because the ref starts counting as Heyman's trying to unlock the key.
Yep.
Or unlock the cuffs.
Go ahead, keep going. You're naming the bullshit. Keep going.
Yes, so the ref is noticing that Heyman is having a problem with this spot. He can't get the cuffs unlocked, and he pauses his count.
Stop. There it is. This is the point where the moment he stopped and he looks around and goes, what am shit. I supposed to
he's,
do?
He's thinking in his head, oh, shit.
You can see the gears turning. You can actually start seeing the steam pouring out of his head, like, oh my God, old school WWE, they would have counted Roman's ass out.
Boom.
Done. Roman loses. Kevin Owens is the champ. They move it on to the next night
SmackDown.
And that's where it's okay. Kevin Owens, you beat me. I was handcuffed to the bottom thing. I could not get undone. I won another match. Cool. Roman then wins it back on SmackDown. You're right back to where you were. Or because we know Roman's going to be in an elimination chamber come Friday night from us recording this. So then you take it off Kevin Owens at Fastlane, and you're right back to where you are.
Yeah.
You, by stopping this count, and I want anyone that listens to this, please come argue with me. Because I have my argument pulled up on YouTube for all of you that want to come and argue this with me. I will gladly show you that WWE didn't give a shit when they duct taped Dave Bautista to a post during a last man standing match, and his ass is sitting there like a dolphin flailing in a net. Yes. So Roman Reigns' ass should have been counted out here and done.
That should have been it. But you know, it's a lot of things happened right at that spot, and it was hard for me not to feel for that ref, because the look on the terrified look on his face, like, guys,
don't give a shit.
Guys, you're not talking to my ear. Am I supposed to keep counting or what?
Keep counting. You count his ass out.
Count his ass out.
But you know what? Someone's gonna say, "Oh, he would have got fired." Then get fired, because you know what? At the end of the day, you're gonna when he counts that 10, A, you're gonna make consistency throughout wrestling that has you're gonna bring somewhat consistency back to wrestling, and you wanna piss off a lot of people. Because I'm not gonna let these motherfuckers forget this.
So finally, you know, the ref starts counting and stops counting, and Roman gets out of the cuffs finally with the help of Paul Heyman. He does his crazy guillotine choke thing that he does and chokes out Kevin Owens for the win, for the last man standing. Kevin's out.
So how many arm drags you got there, big guy?
Okay, so this was a four-arm drag match for me until the end.
Okay, sure. I'm with you. What do you got?
I dropped it two, so it's down to a two-arm dragger for me. The end, like you said with the end, it killed it. It killed it. I just don't – plain and simple, don't bring out the other ref. Just let the match continue. Let Paul Heyman uncuff him. Don't bring out the other ref, and then work it where someone comes, wakes the ref up while Roman Reigns has him in the guillotine choke.
Or send the second ref out while he has the guillotine choke in.
Yes, yes. Yep. So I gave it two arm drags just because of the ending. I thought, besides that last, 3 minutes, this was a fun match to watch.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I gave it one.
You gave it a one?
One arm drag.
That end dropped it that far for you.
Oh, you don't realize how pissed off I was and like actually getting mad at the whole situation while I was watching it, because that whole situation summed up the past 2 years of WWE for me to the point of this is why I stopped watching stupid shit like this, where, you know, back in the day, like, you did a one night title change on Stone Cold Steve Austin at King of the Ring 97 by having Undertaker blast him in the head with a chair, and he's bleeding, and Kane is the new champion for one night.
One night.
For then Steve Austin to win it back. It's you can do one night title changes. Yeah. It's not going to hurt Roman Reigns. Like, if anything, it's going to get him more heat when he goes and bitches about this. Mm-hmm. And you can have him intimidate his way back into the title. There's so many things they could have done with this.
Yes.
But the moment they introduced the second ref and he started counting, they needed to finish the count.
Yep. Or don't bring the ref out. I agree 110%. You don't hurt the storyline of him being this monster, because I catch SmackDown every now and then, and Roman is just destroying people. I think this might be his best gimmick to date in WWE, is this head of the table. He's doing it perfectly. I used to hate Roman. I like this Roman. But go with the count or don't bring the ref out. That's exactly what I'm saying. It doesn't hurt his gimmick if he comes out and says, "You didn't pin me. You didn't knock me out. I technically did not get knocked out for 10 seconds. You had to handcuff me to keep me down."
Exactly.
And then go from there. So, yep. But let's move on to the Men's Royal Rumble.
So let's do our rating first, like we did with the women.
I gave it a 4.
I gave it 4.
This was I gave a it four a 4 on forearm draggers. Some of it might have been because Royal Rumble is my favorite pay-per-view. Some of it might have been because I just thought they told the story really well in this match. Some key spots. Well, let's address the one thing that I didn't like, but I know why they didn't do it. Number one, no Keith Lee in the Rumble. Now,
see I know
why they didn't. It did me because Keith Lee is an amazing athlete that's not getting the push that he deserves right now.
Well, it's because he's on the main roster and yes. Vince wanted him in a tutu for a while.
Yeah, but we know why Keith Lee was not in the Rumble because his wife tested positive for COVID. So that was why.
Oh, and his girlfriend. Yeah.
Mia yes.
Kim. Yep.
Yes. And number two was, I know they're playing that he's dead. No Wyatt. No Bray. But like right. I said, I know they're playing he's dead. The Fiend is dead. But those were the only two real disappointments that I had. I really wasn't a fan of the guest spots in this one. Hurricane, really.
Actually, I'm probably going to give the, like, thinking about this and us, like, now just walking, getting into this and I'm looking at it, this is probably a 3 arm drag for me, if I'm being real. The only reason I say that is the story of this Rumble I wasn't as much of a fan. Like, cool, Edge was your Iron Man.
Yeah.
And I was okay with that. But the Randy Orton story, and it goes back to something I was pointing out earlier. I don't see how Randy Orton is the good guy. Okay, yeah, he's fighting the Fiend. That doesn't necessarily to me, that doesn't make him the good guy all automatically. And the story they were trying this Rumble, they were trying to tell two stories.
Yes.
And you couldn't tell both stories. And you had to choose one or the other to actually tell. And the story was the Iron Man of Edge coming back from the injury, getting his final title shot, his final chance,
finally.
One more run.
Finally.
And that was the story they went with. The other story they were trying to tell was the Randy Orton injury one, which you can only, like, you don't do that with a heel. It doesn't work with a heel, in my opinion. You have to do it with a baby.
Now, see, to me, it worked because Randy was not really hurt, and he was playing that he was hurt, so he didn't have to stay in the ring all that time, which is a heel move, and he came out to try to sneak the win against Edge at the end, and it didn't work because Edge won, which... Again, before the match, the day before, we had to pick our winners. And I said, Edge is probably winning this match to finally get his last title run now that he is healthy.
Right.
And
I went with Edge as well.
Yeah. So really cool spot in here was the return of my man. I spit in the face of people who are not cool.
Carlito. I was so excited to see Carlito come.
Man, did he look good?
He looked like an adult when he was originally in WWE. He looked like the little 12-year-old little kid that, you know, just got his first book bag for school and he's just getting on the bus and, you know, all right, he's off the first day of school. This looks like someone who went to school on the first day, got the shit beat out of him, drank about 30 gallons of milk, went back to day 2 of school and beat the shit out of the kid that, you know, slapped him around.
Because Carlito was looking jacked and juicy, man. He looked good. He looked good.
Well, so, that's what steroids will do. No,
that's all protein.
And no, I would say, you know, that's he was he looks good.
He did. And then
I hope they don't screw him up. But it's he's not going to get a decent push.
No, probably not. No. And then I really liked how they made Damian Priest look.
Yes.
Good. They did that right with that call-up. I mean, he was on Raw this week as we're recording this right now. He was on Raw. And they even made him look good on Raw too. So, but they finally brought him up and he looked really good in this Rumble. They made him look strong.
Like Damian Priest to me, he's someone that you really can't screw up. And what I mean by that is, you know, you look, people could say, oh, he's almost like a Baron Corbin. Mm-hmm. If you're basing it solely off of like looks, yes, I would say he and Baron Corbin have some of the same features. But in the talent department, Damian Priest is hands down drastically better than a Baron Corbin. Mm-hmm. His look is great. The way they featured him in this Rumble was great. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they can't screw him up or they won't screw him up,
which
next 6 months.
Well, I mean, pairing him right now, he is paired with Bad Bunny. So,
yes. He's dead come WrestleMania. And after WrestleMania, he is a lower to mid card guy. He will not crack the main event. You're put with Bugs Bunny in your screen.
Yeah. So I'm just looking right now to make sure. Yes, him and Damian Priest and Big E were tied for the most eliminations with 4.
Okay.
You know, Big E is the
Intercontinental. Kane's old ass coming out.
That was kind of okay. It was cool, but I liked Kane more than I liked Hurricane.
I enjoyed Hurricane more.
I did not because he cost me something. So, you know.
That was your pick?
No. I had the quickest elimination picked. Oh. And it was right until Hurricane came in the ring. So, so he can go somewhere. And this man right here, I know you guys can't see it, but I'm holding up his card right now.
He can get that out of here.
He could get that out of here, and he did in 13 seconds in the Royal Rumble. It was nice to see Seth Rollins was back in the Rumble. He came out 29th, and Braun Strowman, my son's pick, came out 30th. And this is how we will end the review of the Rumble, unless you got something else to add.
No, that's it for me, man. It was a fun pay-per-view.
It was, and we had Omis, who was not in the Royal Rumble, had 2 eliminations.
I hate Otis.
Omis, not Otis, Omis.
Oh. AJ Styles.
Bodyguard. He had 2 eliminations.
9 foot tall. dude, yeah.
All right, so as you said, to me, this was a very enjoyable. I love the Rumble. My final thoughts for this is I gave it an overall 3 arm drags, and I dropped it from a 4 because of one reason and one reason only. It was too predictable. The winners of the Rumbles, I'm not saying they're not always predictable. There's always, every year, there's always like that little storyline that you can pick up on that's saying, okay, this is going to be it this year. But this year, it was black and white. I want to say...
night and day. Let's use that phrase better.
Okay, night and day. I want to say that... I want to probably say 95% of people that pick the winners pick these two.
I would say... So, WWE did... one thing very badly before this pay-per-view. They put the Bianca Belair documentary out like the hour before Royal Rumble. And you're just watching it and you're like, as you're watching the documentary, you're like hearing her feel good story and the things that she's gone through. And I'm like, man, I like Bianca Belair more than I did before. I really like her. And that really solidified me that she was winning the Rumble. If they did not have that before the Rumble and put it on after, fine. But WWE shirt gave away the finish with that. For me, the overall for this is a one-arm drag. You know, the first match, I gave it a 2. Cool. Wasn't a big fan of the women's title match. Wasn't the women, the two Rumbles were my favorite spots. I will say that. But it was the anything outside of the Rumble matches, I was very disappointed. And I can remember back growing up where it wasn't just the Rumble match. You know, like Mick Foley and Triple H in a street fight at MSG. Oh my God. The table match at MSG. Oh my God. Undertaker, Yokozuna, and a casket match. Like, right. So there's, I don't believe there'll be anything from this pay-per-view that in 10 years people will be talking about, 20 years people will be talking about. Maybe they're going to talk about the Roman Reigns fuck up because they might say that was a final nail in the coffin for the WWE. But I think the current fan attention span for wrestling is so short that that moment is just a blip on the radar.
Most of them have probably, most casual, we'll say casual fans.
Yep.
Most casual fans have already looked past that.
Right. And I'm still harping on it a week and a half later.
Like I will see on Raw or on SmackDown Friday night, you know, and I will see what if they stay or bring that up at all.
And they haven't, because this past Friday, Roman came out and demanded Edge say who was challenging.
Yes.
Yes. So they've already, like, they're not going to bring it up a week and a half later after that. So
nope.
They had their opportunity to do it. They didn't. It's fine. That's their choice. It's their company. But, like, that to me was a very bad. It just puts a sour taste in my mouth. It makes me realize why I don't watch modern day product. Like, I enjoy AEW. I will say out of the two of us, I'm the AEW fan.
You are.
You know, doesn't mean I don't still talk shit on the product, but at least, you know, I know what I'm going to get with them. WWE, I hold it to a higher standard.
Right. So that was our Royal Rumble special, folks. We want to thank you, as always, for tuning in and listening to this ACAD as we ramble on about these classic and new pay-per-views. Moneymaker, anything else in closing?
Have a wonderful night, everyone, and don't forget to rate, like, and subscribe wherever you listen to us, and always drop comments.
And now I got 4 words for you. Get that out of here.